Took wandered off to find his father as Mike approached across the field.
You guys okay?
Just going over some things.
Is that a cell phone I saw in Took's hand?
Yes, it was. Apparently, the little guy had it with him the entire time.
You mean we could have been rescued before all of this?
I doubt it, actually. There would have been no way to get a team in for us with the storm coming down. And I believe that Took would have used it to do just that if he thought there was enough time.
Who was he talking to?
An old friend of mine. Of sorts. I guess he thought I was in some kind of danger and asked Took to keep an eye on me.
Took was your guardian angel?
Seems to have been, yes. Although I'm still not quite sure what he might have been protecting me from. And that's the bone of contention right now.
What is?
There's apparently something much bigger going on than any of us realized. And it shows signs of infecting this place, if what I just heard is to be believed.
Are you kidding me? How would it impact this place? It's like an unspoiled paradise here.
Mike, I know that you're loving this place, but we aren't the only ones who've been looking for it.
I know that. People have been searching for Shangri-La since it was written about all those years ago. It's a given that others would want to find it, and yet, somehow, I don't think they'll be able to.
I wish that was the case. But I think it's safe to say that right now there is a very concerted effort to discover exactly how to access this valley from the outside world. And the people involved in that hunt are anything but friendly.
You're talking about Singh? I didn't get the idea that he wanted to destroy this place. I thought maybe he wanted to come and live here in seclusion. Maybe find a cure for that weird vampire condition of his.
I'm not necessarily talking about Singh. I'm thinking about the communist Chinese. I just don't know all of the details yet, and until I do, I'm not quite sure what we're supposed to do. We're in a valley bordered on all sides by mountains. This doesn't look like the kind of place you could easily defend.
Maybe it doesn't need defending. It's been able to remain hidden here for years. Maybe that's its best defense.
Yeah, that was also before satellite technology. And despite what Guge might say, I'm not ready to believe that it's invisible to what we have flying around the Earth. Someone knows about this place, or they will soon enough. And when that happens, there's going to be a rush to get here and exploit whatever natural resources they have.
Probably the geothermal ones. Hot springs and underground vents that could produce this type of environment would be badly sought by governments around the world.
And the Chinese have one of the fastest growing populations in the world, coupled with a real energy crisis. Even being able to tap into this place to help them offset the energy requirements of Tibet would be a boon and a massive savings for them.
You think that's it? That they want to channel the geothermal heat out of here to run power in Tibet?
Like I said, I don't know. I just got handed all of this information, and I'm still processing it. If I had to guess, I'd say they're as likely to grab the entire Mustang province as they would be to just take over this valley. But we've also got a very real geographical dilemma here.
Which is?
We don't know which side of the border we're on. We were straddling it when we were in the mountain. Presumably, we're someplace else now, but where exactly? I don't think Guge and Vanya have the latest maps to show us. And if it turns out that we're on the Tibetan side, then we are, in effect, in Chinese territory. They could literally do anything to this place and suffer no repercussions.
And we'd be screwed.
Definitely.
Isn't it always like this? Doesn't it just suck that you think you finally found something amazing? Something that has driven you your entire life? I read James Hilton's novel Lost Horizon when I was just 8 years old, and it captivated me so entirely that my life was devoted to this even before I knew it would be. And now, at last, when I'm on the threshold of my own Lost Horizon, I find the place of my dreams only to have to come to grips with the idea that it may be taken away from me.
Mike, I don't think we should jump to any drastic conclusions yet. Like I said, I'm still processing the information I was just given.
What's the point anymore? Where is the harmony in the universe that would allow a place like this to blossom, only to stub it out and wreck the happiness it provides for so many people?
I don't know that there is any universal justice, despite what people think and believe. Sometimes it really does seem like the bad guys get to win and the good guys go home without the ball.
It shouldn't be like that. And you can bet that when I get to whatever afterlife awaits me, I'm going to have some really hard questions for the people in charge.
I don't doubt it at all.
These people seem to have lived in peace and prosperity for years, only rarely coming into contact with the outside world. How is it that now they're in jeopardy?
I don't know. I just don't know.
That's not a good enough explanation, Anya, and it's not one I can accept.
Anya watched Mike storm off. She couldn't blame him for feeling this way. With a brain tumor growing in his head and only a matter of time before his last days on the planet, all he wanted was to find a peaceful place to spend his final moments. And now that seemed to have no chance of happening. Anya looked up at the sky. She could see the stars twinkling above her head and had to wonder exactly where she was. And why was this place in danger, now of all times? Her gut response didn't make her feel any better. What if Shangri-La was being threatened as a direct result of events set into motion by Mike? What if his lifelong obsession had enabled the possibility of Shangri-La's very extinction? By being so driven to find this place, Mike might have unleashed the very forces that could lead to its downfall. Anya frowned, and she might be helping them too. Just by agreeing to tag along on this adventure, Anya could be just as culpable in the demise as Mike.
You look troubled?
I suppose I am, Queen Vanya.
Here, of all places, you have managed to be troubled about something.
Trust me, if anyone can find something to be troubled about, it's me.
Surely not by desire, though.
Nope. Trouble seems to find me wherever I am. I don't go looking for it, but it seems drawn to me.
Very often, trouble finds us not because we are bad people, but because we have the opportunity to help set things right. Perhaps instead of focusing on why trouble always finds you, you should focus on the good you've been able to do when put to the challenge.
I appreciate that. But I sometimes question whether I've been able to do any good at all. Or are my efforts merely wasted breaths in the universe? It's impossible for me to know for certain.
Does it matter?
What do you mean? Of course it matters.
I don't think you believe that. You don't act as a force for good simply because you want to be recognized for it. That doesn't even really matter to you.
Possibly.
Your actions in this world bear out a destiny you have been born to. You are where you are supposed to be for that very reason. Our personal agendas have little to do with the nature of our divine purpose.
You truly believe that?
We all have a part to play, Anya. No one role is more important than any other. We are all interconnected and therefore reliant on one another. Our journey through this universe is not taken alone, but in the breadth of the complete human experience.
We're all in this together, in other words.
That is an easier way of putting it, yes.
And if you knew that something bad was going to potentially happen, what would you do about it?
There exists in everything and every one of us the potential for anything to happen at any time. Potential is simply misguided energy careering about. It is only when that potential is harnessed and then focused into something that we can decide for certain if it is good or evil.
I suppose I could stand to wait a little longer before I make certain decisions.
It sounds as though you have already started making those decisions. The universe is a quirky thing. It simply goes on, oblivious to whatever our personal desires may be. The real way to impact the universe is not to wish and pray for good things to happen.
A whole lot of people are going to be pretty disappointed in that statement.
If you want to change the universe, then you must set things in motion starting at the most basic level.
But how do you know when to start?
We are always at the starting point of something somewhere. The real trick is knowing where you are at any given moment. Find out the answer to that, and then you will become truly unstoppable.
Have you figured it out yet?
Me? Oh no. I imagine that will take me many more lifetimes to understand. Perhaps then I will escape the wheel. Until such time, I will be back to learn more and continue to evolve.
You don't seem disappointed.
Why be disappointed? Time is a function of humanity. The rest of the universe doesn't seem to care how long something takes or whether things are on schedule or not. It simply continues regardless. So too will my personal evolution. When it is time for me to move on, I shall.
Thanks for your help.
It is my pleasure. Thank you for bringing my son home.
My pleasure.
Took walked with his father, Guge, toward the royal pavilion hours after the last of the partygoers had wandered off to sleep. He couldn't stop thinking about the phone call from Garin earlier and what ramifications it might have for his kingdom. But Garin had specifically asked Took to find out how to cross over to this land, and Took knew his only chance at getting that information was from his father.
You're enjoying yourself, my son.
What's not to enjoy? For my entire life, I've always wondered who I was and what I was supposed to do. I thought I found my life's work, and then that vanished. I was despondent, unsure of where I was supposed to go. And then this happened, and everything seemed so utterly perfect.
Your mother is beside herself with joy. She blamed herself for many years after your disappearance. She was inconsolable in some respects. Guilt is a terrible burden to handle, but especially so where it concerns a child.
I would imagine. But I don't hold either of you responsible. How could you have known that your kindness would be repaid with betrayal?
That's the thing that one can almost never guard against, betrayal.
But surely you can look out for such things. If a person's actions are suspect, then you can remain on alert for their traitorous ways to emerge.
You wish to ask me a question?
I do.
Then why haven't you yet?
How is it that we came to be in this place? We examined the cave as much as we knew how, and yet here we are.
You want to know how you crossed over?
Yes.
It's quite simple, actually. Would you like to see it?
Right at this moment?
Oh, certainly. Why not?
I thought there might be something complicated about it. Something that would require more preparation time.
Not at all.
Guge pointed toward the temple ahead of them that was connected to the royal quarters. Like the pavilion and court, it was constructed out of stone and seemed to be part of the mountain itself. Intricate carvings bordered every doorway and window. Took was amazed at the workmanship.
How long has this been here?
Hundreds of years. Come with me, and you will learn the secret of our kingdom.
Guge pointed inside a darkened corridor. Took fell into step behind his father. Guge traveled over the polished stone-floored corridors gracefully, seeming to almost levitate as he walked. They walked past giant stone gods squatting in amazing detail with their hands knotted into intricate mudra for calling down favor from the universe. Spectacular colored wall reliefs showed ancient battles between the good and evil forces.
I come here a lot to be alone with my thoughts. It is a place of contemplation for me, as I imagine it will be for you also.
I'd like that. I have often thought my life could use a lot more meditation than action.
Some of the people don't like to think. If they are not solely preoccupied with action, then they have time to realize the truly infantile aspects of their essence. Only the truly wise and intelligent may devote themselves to inaction from time to time, without fear or prejudice.
Took saw that there were lit torches ahead, casting light into the darkened gloom of the temple. The flames danced and bit at the night air, throwing shadows across the walls and paintings with reckless abandon.
How much further is it?
Not very. Are you in a hurry, my son?
Not at all. I am tired, however. I feared that I might collapse from exhaustion soon from all the dancing earlier.
Your people have missed you. And there was quite some concern as to who would assume the throne when your mother and I pass on. Some of our people suggested that it was a time for a new ruler to assume command. But your mother insisted we wait a little longer before making a decision. She is very wise.
Maybe she knew I was coming home?
Perhaps she did.
It's growing colder, Father.
Yes. This is much deeper into the mountain now. And you can feel the temperature shift, can't you?
Yes, it's much cooler.
So you see that we are part of the same mountain, but our position makes all the difference.
How is that possible?
It just is.
Forgive me, Father, but that's not much of an explanation.
Do not allow yourself to get caught up in the need to have everything explained to you so completely. Doing so robs the world of its magic.
I understand, Father. I merely thought that there would be an explanation that made more sense. You know, from a scientific perspective?
Science cannot explain everything, my son. And science should not try to explain everything. For then it becomes a crutch and imagination departs the soul. It would be truly tragic for the human race if that were to happen.
All right.
They walked down a flight of stairs and then entered a long hallway leading toward another portal. A lone torch flickered on the wall ahead, but Took could not see beyond into the absolute darkness of the portal.
This is the way you came across.
Through there?
It led to a path that would take you back to the Arctic side of the mountain. Perhaps now is not the time to try it out and see. You seem a bit underdressed for the outside weather.
I'd just like to take a look.
I do not recommend it, my son. There is little to see over there that you have not already seen. Why go through it again? Are you merely attempting to satisfy your own curiosity?
I suppose I am.
I am old, my son. This is nothing of a consequence. You should be content to know that it exists, and that there is a way to get from our kingdom back to the real world. But I don't think you will be needing it. Unless you don't intend to stay.
Oh, I'm not leaving.
Excellent. Then perhaps we can satisfy your curiosity another time. I am getting tired myself.
Perhaps I could take one quick little peek across. That wouldn't be so bad, would it?
You won't stop badgering an old man unless he lets you go, will you?
Probably not.
Very well. You go ahead. But I am not coming with you. That cold air makes my old bones hurt. And there's nothing there that I haven't seen before now. If you want to go, you go by yourself.
Are you sure you won't come along?
Completely.
Took looked down the hallway at the portal. The torch fire danced from the slight breeze that seemed to snake through the hallway. Took caught a touch of the chill across his neck and shivered involuntarily. For a moment, he seriously considered going off to bed and doing this later. But then he shook his head.
Can I bring the torch, Father?
Are you afraid of the dark?
Not at all. I'm afraid of what I can't see. I don't want to step over the edge of something that would send me hurtling toward my death.
I don't believe you will.
And yet...
Oh, very well. Take the torch along. But be ready for it to go out the moment you cross over. The winds are very strong, and there may be a lot of snow.
I'll be ready.
And make sure you pay very close attention to where you are. If you don't, you will never find the way back to us. and you will perish in the cold over there. Your mother would never let me hear the end of it.
All right. I'm going to go to the doorway now.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Took turned back to the blackened doorway and held the torch aloft. But for some strange reason, the torchlight could not penetrate the interior of the doorway. Took held the torch up and ran it all along the perimeter of the door, but there was nothing that he could see inside.
You will not be able to see until you actually cross the threshold.
Why is that?
It is that way, simply because it is that way.
Took nodded. Another strange answer from his father. Very well, he thought. If there's only one way to do this, then he would simply do it. Perhaps then he would know what to tell Garin when he called again.
I forgot to ask you something.
What is it?
You received a phone call earlier this evening, didn't you?
Oh, I did. I forgot that I had a telephone with me.
You cannot go through with the telephone from this side.
Why not?
As far as I understand it, the technology is too advanced to be transported back.
But I came through with it from the other side, and it seemed to work just fine.
I will hold onto the phone for you while you go through. That way, you can be sure it will work.
Oh, all right. I'll just take a quick peek and then come back.
Good. I hope you will satisfy your curiosity once and for all. Then we can move on to other things.
We have a lot to talk about, I assume.
Oh, a great deal indeed.
All right, I'm going through. Father, why are you standing so close?
I just wanted to make sure you are certain of this.
I am. Father, my phone is ringing. I should pick it up before I go further.
Despite the silky soft pillows and sheets covering her bed, Anya couldn't get comfortable. From her quarters, an open window looked down upon the pavilion. Tropical breezes swept across her skin. The temperature was absolutely perfect for sleeping. And yet, she couldn't. The idea that Garin was somehow involved in this whole mess had her confused. Why exactly had he hired Took to watch over her? Since when did Anya need a guardian angel anyway? She had her sword, and the sword could handle anything that she'd ever come up against. Although, she thought, she hadn't had much occasion to use the blade on this outing. Something told her that if Su Zhao was really coming here, then that would soon be rectified. Anya wondered how Mike was doing. After he'd stormed off, she'd tried to find him, but he seemed intent on avoiding any contact. Anya decided that he needed some alone time and had gone to bed to try to get some rest. She would have thought that would be an easy task, given how much the strain of the past day had worn on her. But after nearly an hour of tossing and turning, she had to admit that something wasn't letting her sleep. Anya sat on the stone window ledge and peered out across the land. All about this place, everything seemed perfectly still. Perfectly perfect. Anya frowned. It wasn't that she didn't believe in an absolute peace. It was just that she had never seen anything that even approached the tranquility of this land. It was an oddity to her. The idea that Shangri-La existed on the other side of Daulagiri Mountain didn't sit right with Anya's analytical mind. Some part of her rejected that outright, saying that it would be impossible for such a place to exist and stay hidden from the technological eye of modern man. Despite what Vanya and Guge might want her to believe, Anya couldn't buy into it. Still, if they were in some sort of magical location, then what was it? How did it operate? Anya wasn't naive enough to think that just because something may or may not be magical, there weren't rules that it would have to abide by as well. She'd seen enough crazy stuff in her life to know that all things in the universe, even those that were presently unexplainable, still had a rule book they had to follow. Anya dressed quickly and walked down the stairs back toward the pavilion. The amazing thing about this place was there seemed to be very few individual homes anywhere, and everyone seemed to disappear to sleep at the same time. Earlier this evening, right after the party had disbanded, people simply vanished. Anya wrote it off as everyone going off to bed, but now it triggered an alarm bell inside her gut. She moved across the open pavilion and stole back down the grand staircase toward the fields below. As she walked, she kept her senses alert for any movement that might alert her she was not alone. But as far as she could tell, she was just that, alone.
This is weird. Where is everyone?
Even Took seemed to have vanished earlier. Anya had last seen him walking with Gugay. Presumably, Took was going to get his father to tell him how to cross over so that Garin could find them. Anya frowned. She wasn't sure that was such a good idea. The times she'd been around Garin in the past had usually amounted to a lot of tension between them, and then a differing agenda that left Anya on the losing end of things. But then again, Garin had seemed sincere about wanting to keep Anya safe. But from what? The Chinese assassin? Was Anya truly in the crosshairs? And if so, how did the Chinese know she would be coming over here? Couldn't they have taken her out when she was back in Brooklyn? Too many things just didn't make sense. Her mind and spirit were at odds, and the resulting battle had one casualty: Anya's sleep. Anya crossed into a grove of fruit trees. She could smell their scent as she approached. Their branches looked strong and supple. Anya reached up and twisted a peach from one of them, then continued toward the edge of the field. Overhead, the stars winked at her, and somewhere far above, clouds wove strange patterns across the night sky. The effect was incredibly peaceful. Anya looked around in every direction and saw nothing that would lead her to believe this place was inhabited. No lights, no noise, no nothing. Everyone seemed to have disappeared, except for her. Anya turned back to the grand staircase. Surely there would be attendants awake in the temple corridors. Perhaps she could ask them a few questions and try to put her mind at rest.
Hello? Hello?
Anya traveled down corridor after corridor and checked out room after room, but she found nothing. There were no people anywhere. And worse, there were no personal belongings to speak of. It was as if she was on some sort of weird sound stage in a movie production lot. But the land was real, and surely the peach she'd eaten was real. So where the hell was everyone else? She ducked back upstairs to her room and tried again to sleep. Perhaps, she thought, if I go to sleep, tomorrow I can sort things through. But her mind raced as soon as she lay down. Shangri-La was turning out to be anything but paradise. She suddenly realized how utterly fatigued she was. Even if she couldn't sleep, maybe just closing her eyes would make everything feel better. She leaned back and felt her head sink into one of the pillows. A delicate scent of honeysuckle tickled her nostrils, and Anya smiled. She loved that scent, always had. She thought about the golden sunshine and how warm it had been earlier today. It reminded her of sitting on a tropical beach somewhere, watching the blue-green waves crash in against the sandy shore, frothing white before retreating once more to the water. Anya stretched her limbs and tried to release all of her nervous energy. Wherever she was, she decided, it was better than being back in that cold, snowy cave. The images flickered across Anya's consciousness in an instant as she came awake. A dark shadow behind her bed. Hands extended over the pillow where she had been lying. Claws. Anya flicked the sword up in front of her, and from behind her bed, tracked the shadow. It was bathed in black cloth, invisible in the dim twilight of the room. There was no moon, making the landscape even darker. But the shadow that stalked Anya seemed to simply bleed across the floor toward her, its hands upraised in a fighting stance vaguely familiar to Anya. She'd seen it somewhere before. But where? The figure in black regarded Anya as a cat might look at a mouse. Anya was almost stunned by the sudden ferocity of the attack. The figure slashed at Anya's face with its claws. Anya deftly flicked her sword up, intending to cut the attacker's hands.
Metal?
Anya moved back for more room. Swinging a sword in the confined space wasn't the best use of it as a weapon. The shadow had the advantage of a smaller tool used in a close environment. But Anya didn't intend to go down without a fight. As the shadow advanced again, Anya could see that the skin around the eyes had been darkened as well, rendering the figure nearly invisible, save for the whites of the eyeballs themselves. Anya warded off the attack, but struggled to get off an offensive maneuver. Anya stabbed, then launched a short cut at the shadow, but the figure merely moved out of the way and out of range. Anya needed open space to use her sword to its fullest advantage, but how would she convince the shadow to pursue her? She had to assume the shadow knew how to fight, and do so extremely well. There was no way it would simply follow Anya if it meant giving up its advantage in the room. Anya attacked savagely. The creature came back at her, swinging its claws with full force. Anya was driven back to the doorway, and then beyond, into the corridor. Anya ran. She dashed down the steps back into the open pavilion. She had no idea if the shadow had followed her or not. Anya whirled in time to see the shadow floating down from the second-floor bedroom window of Anya's quarters.
It flies?
The shadow attacked again, this time kicking Anya in the stomach. Anya flew back, feeling her wind rush out of her body. The shadow followed up with a resounding punch to Anya's chin. Anya saw stars and tried to blink away the tears that welled up in her eyes. She fell into a crouch, pivoting on one knee, then swung at the shadow's midsection. But the shadow backflipped away, tumbling across the pavilion and disappearing into the corridors beyond. Stay or follow. She'd tricked the shadow into coming down here where she could better use the blade. Now the shadow probably wanted to return the favor. Anya shook her head. No way was she following. Creed jerked her sword up and cut it across her face, severing the arrow that had been fired at her from somewhere beyond the range of her sight. Anya was silhouetted in the dim light. She needed to make herself invisible. Anya sensed movement. She stumbled back, swinging the sword in front of her to protect her if need be. Perched atop one of the stone walls leading up toward Anya's quarters, the shadow was hunched. Against the night sky, it looked like a feral cat.
Hey! Hey!
Took looked around the sparse enclosure into which he'd fallen. It resembled a prison cell, closed off by a single slab of heavy stone that had shifted into place behind him. Overhead, a single light illuminated the room behind what looked to be a plexiglass housing. This suddenly didn't look very much like Shangri-La. Took began to pace off the room's measurements. Other than the light fixture, there was nothing else in the room with him. His mind raced. Surely his own father hadn't done this to him, had he? He felt like a prisoner, and he was rapidly suspecting that he'd somehow been betrayed. Was everything a hoax here? Was this place just a fraud? And if it was, then that meant that Anya and Mike were in serious trouble. The phone had rung moments before he fell. Garin was obviously attempting to get in touch with him again. But why? Had he learned something that would help? Or was he calling to see if Took had managed to find a way for Garin to cross over? Either way, things didn't look good.
Let me out of here now!
Took's hand came away, badly scraped. Took sucked it for a moment and then sat down on the floor, trying to make sense of things. Nothing made sense except for the fact that he'd passed through a doorway and into some type of prison cell, cut off from his friends and seemingly at the mercy of his so-called father. Perhaps his father didn't really want him back after all. Maybe Took was a threat to his rule.
No.
Took shook his head. His father was old. Gugay himself had said how happy they were about his return. But why? If that was how they showed their happiness, then things were truly askew. Took examined his hand again and made sure that the bleeding was minimal. It wouldn't need any medical attention, but it hurt for the time being.
You shouldn't have punched a wall like that.
Squinting in the dim light, Took could see that a small piece of plexiglass was implanted in one section of the stone wall. It looked to be some type of observation window, and Took couldn't see beyond the one-way glass into the other room.
Father?
He still thinks you're his father.
Who is that?
Sit down, little man. Sit down and listen. It's a shame you had to be so curious about things. We were hoping you would hold out long enough for us to complete what we're working on here.
I only asked a question.
Yes, but you asked the question we didn't want you to ask, don't you see? And now you are paying the price for that curiosity.
Where is my father? Stop laughing at me!
I am here, Took. What can I do for you?
You can explain yourself. All of this. Tell me what is going on here. I demand to know.
Oh, yes, I know you want to know. The thing is, I can't tell you yet. I'm afraid you're going to have to be a little more patient, When everything is done, you will be allowed to see it.
I will?
Oh, certainly.
What's the catch?
There's no catch. It's son.
You're not my father.
Oh, now don't take it so personally. It was important for us to make you feel welcomed when you first arrived. After all, it wouldn't do to have you come here and not roll out the welcome mat.
Why, though? You could have just left us alone in the cave on the mountain.
No, unfortunately, as much as we would have liked doing just that, we couldn't leave you there.
Why?
Because the woman you are with is far more adept at ferreting things out than we would like. And inevitably, you would have located the passageway that bridges us with the mountain entrance.
So, you took us over with the intention of doing what?
Sending your friends back on their way when the one called Mike was healed. And keeping you here.
Why keep me?
We have our reasons.
Well, now you've got me. Are you going to let Anya and Mike go?
I'm afraid things have progressed beyond being able to do that now.
Why?
Your cell phone, for one. Who is the man you are speaking with on the other end of the line?
None of your business.
Oh, that's no way to treat your friends.
Friends, right.
We need to know. We must ensure the secret is still safe. Does he know where you are?
I don't even know where I am. How will I be able to communicate anything to him? So how long are you going to keep me here?
Just a little while more.
My friends are going to stand for this. Once they see that I've gone, they're going to start asking questions.
Yes, Anya is already being somewhat troublesome.
I'm glad to hear that.
And we have another problem.
Good.
Don't be like that, Took. This can all go so much smoother if you simply cooperate and answer our questions. If you do that for us, we'll make sure your time with us is relatively comfortable and painless.
You're going to torture me if I don't talk? How refreshingly original.
Torture tends not to work that well. The results are usually mixed, unpredictable even. But there are other alternatives.
I'm not answering any more of your questions.
Where is Mike, Took?
You lost him? That's fantastic. You guys must be so proud of yourselves.
This isn't helping us.
You are absolutely correct. It's not helping you. And you can bet there's more where that came from.
This is getting us nowhere. I told you he wouldn't cooperate. Shut off the intercom.
What?
My comrade here thinks we would be better served if we simply started making you as uncomfortable as possible right now. He thinks I am wasting my time trying to talk to you like a civilized human being.
Maybe you are.
Don't say that, Took. Things can grow truly unpleasant here. You have no idea how enterprising some of my colleagues can be. And I mean that in the worst possible way.
I'm done helping you. Until I get some answers, I'm not saying a thing.
Where is Mike, Took?
I don't know. And that's an honest answer. Seriously. I will give that one to you for no charge.
Where is he?
You guys are about as thick as this wall, aren't you? I just told you the truth. I don't know where he is. The last time I saw him was right after Anya spoke to him and he went off in a huff about something. I don't know anything else.
All right, Duke. That's fine for now. We will see if your story checks out. If I were you, I'd spend my time praying that it does.
Really?
Almost definitely. Because if we find out that you've been lying to us, there's going to be little I can do to stop my colleagues from exerting themselves upon you in a most terrible fashion.
I have nothing to hide. I've told you the truth.
Let us hope so.
How soon can I get out of here?
I told you when we are finished, not a moment before that time.
And then you let me go?
We never said anything about letting you go, Duke.
I'm not used to you here. Let me go back to Kathmandu. Or better yet, let me leave the country. I've got a little money. I can go anywhere. Trust me, I'm no bother to you here.
Oh, you won't be a bother?
Absolutely not.
Well, there's one thing we agree on, Took.
Good.
Unfortunately, we don't agree on how to make sure that you do disappear.
I just told you, I can vanish.
It's too risky, my little friend.
I don't think I like where this is going.
Well, then perhaps you should stop talking before your worst fears are confirmed. Good night, Took.
Anya had headed left of the courtyard, moving towards the flickering torches she'd seen in the distance, illuminating aspects of a stone corridor. She passed the giant carved Buddhist sculptures and bizarrely colored tapestries and paintings, all showing universal conflicts. Her sword still gleamed in the night air. There was no way she was going to release her blade until she knew exactly what the hell was going on around here.
Where the hell is everyone?
Anya wanted her friends around now, especially so since there was apparently some kind of assassin in the grounds. Was it the Su Zhao character that Garin and Took had mentioned? Or was it someone else eager to dispatch the outsiders who had come into their land?
He isn't telling us all he knows. He is a cunning fellow, this Took. I think he is being sincere, at least about his friend.
Anya stalked farther ahead, keeping the sword tucked behind her back to avoid its gleam giving her away. She stayed in the recesses of the shadows and hugged the wall farthest away from the torch brackets. Anya almost gasped when she saw Guge hunched over an intercom beside someone dressed in combat fatigues. A lone red star appeared on his shoulder epaulets. Chinese military. Here? But this was supposed to be a sacred land far removed from the outside world. How was it possible that the Chinese were here? And if they were, why so? What was their purpose? What did the people of Shangri-La have that would interest Chinese military so much? Maybe the geothermal theory was right. Maybe the Chinese wanted free energy to run part of their country. Already the global economy had hit China hard. Thousands of laborers had been laid off from shuttered factories reliant on American consumerism. And with so many people to take care of, energy costs might push the government to the brink of almost anything. If they couldn't keep their people happy, they'd have a serious revolt on their hands. And China couldn't afford bad will. Another Tiananmen Square incident would turn the world against them, and that would cost them billions upon billions of dollars.
So what was the alternative? Find Shangri-La and plunder its geothermal supply for Chinese use only?
Anya frowned. She really needed Mike. And it wouldn't hurt to have Garin along, too. She knew how much he would have loved to hear Anya say that to his face. Fat chance of that happening. Anya could feel the cold air now. How deep was she into the mountain? It almost felt as cold as it had back in the cave they'd been taken from. Guge walked off, leaving the soldier behind. He seemed to be intently watching something through a pane of glass. But what? And where was Guge headed? Anya decided she couldn't worry about him right now. She needed to see what the soldier was looking at. Perhaps it would clear up this mess. But how was she going to get close enough to do it? She could just run him through with the sword, of course. But despite her apprehension at the appearance of the Chinese military here, so far they hadn't done anything to warrant murder. Anya might even be the one breaking the law if she was on sovereign Chinese territory. She could just imagine the scope of the international incident if she attacked the soldier for doing nothing other than peering through some glass. Still, she needed, wanted, to look and see what he was watching. She regarded the soldier. He was armed with a pistol on his right side, but otherwise, there didn't seem to be another weapon about. Anya figured him for an officer. They were the ones who normally wore sidearms. Anya flexed her muscles. She would sneak up and take him down with a chokehold. She'd been practicing some of them at the traditional jiu-jitsu school that had recently opened in Manhattan. But this form of jiu-jitsu wasn't like the mixed martial arts silliness. This was authentic jiu-jitsu from Japan, with holds and chokes designed to immediately incapacitate or kill an opponent. Anya leaped up and onto his back, wrapping her left arm around his windpipe and using her right arm to tighten the hold. She positioned her head down at the base of his skull. The soldier snapped his head back, trying to headbutt Anya in the face to make her release him. When that didn't work, his right hand scrambled for his pistol. Anya brought him down to the ground. Anya released the man. She checked his pulse and breathing. Both of them seemed fine. He'd recover in a few minutes. But it didn't give Anya much time. She rose and looked through the glass.
Took?
He sat there on the stone floor in almost complete darkness. What the hell was Took doing in there? Anya searched, trying to see if there was a button she could punch so she could speak to Took.
Took, can you hear me?
Anya? Is that you?
Yeah, what the hell is going on around here? Why are you in this... whatever it is?
I asked Guge how to cross over, and then he pointed me to this doorway. My phone started to ring, and then he pushed me through here. I don't know what's going on.
I can't see how this cell works. Is there a door in there?
None that I can see. Anya, what is this all about?
I'm not sure, but I'll get some answers. Do you know this place is deserted out here? I saw your father speaking Chinese to a soldier.
They want to know where Mike is, and who Garin is. I didn't tell them anything.
Not much to tell. I don't know where Mike is, and trying to explain who Garin is would take a very long time.
Anya, I don't think that's my real father.
I'm starting to think that, too.
I can't see you, by the way. This glass is one way.
All right. I'm trying to get you out, but there doesn't seem to be any way to trip the door release.
If there even is a door, I can't see anything in here to tell you where it might be. The four walls appear completely solid.
Well, there's gotta be a release somewhere. Just hang on.
Garin was trying to reach me when I was put inside. Find my phone, and maybe you can guide him here.
I have no idea how I'd even do that, Took. I'm not sure where we are anymore. If I ever knew at all.
We've got to be somewhere close to the mountain we stayed in. They couldn't have taken us too far, could they?
There's no telling how strong that gas was they used on us. We could be in Brazil now and not know it.
You're right.
I'm gonna keep searching, but you just...
Anya!
Anya rolled towards the Chinese soldier, who had a quicker recovery time than she'd given him credit for. She spotted the pistol in his hand and immediately lashed out her leg. The soldier watched where the pistol stopped, determined it was too far away to go after, and then glanced back at Anya with a grin on his face.
So, the mighty Anya Kree makes her appearance at last.
I've been here all day. It's not my fault you're late to the game.
It will be my pleasure to kill you. Huh? So, it is true.
What is?
The sword. The mystical sword we've heard rumors of.
How had they heard of the sword? As far as Anya knew, she'd managed to keep its existence secret from all but a few individuals over the years. And now this Chinese soldier was telling her that he knew of it?
What have you heard?
The soldier came back at Anya with a stabbing shot aimed at her heart. The soldier caught her with a follow-up kick that scraped Anya's shin and sent pain echoing through her body.
You have been in too many battles for your enemies not to notice the sword's existence, Anya. And not all of your enemies died as you thought. It's funny what people will tell you when you helped them live for vengeance.
Vengeance?
How do you control the sword? Where does it come from?
If you don't know, why should I tell you?
Because I'm not going to kill you, Anya. I'm going to disable you, and then torture you until you tell me every last secret of that blade.
You think so?
Anya swung at the soldier again, but he managed to vault out of the way. Whoever he was, he'd been extremely well trained in hand-to-hand combat.
I know so. You can hold out for a little while, but eventually you will cry and weep with joy when you tell me what I want to know. When I'm done with you, you will give me the sword.
I'll give you the sword right now.
You will?
The blade passed through his fatigues effortlessly, moving directly into his heart.
You should be careful what you wish for. Sorry about that, Took.
What happened? I can't see a thing in this place, but I heard you fighting.
We were momentarily interrupted. I don't think it'll happen again.
You killed him?
I had no choice.
Well, now you most certainly have to figure out how to free me. If you kill one of the people, whoever they are, then they will hold me responsible for his death.
How could you kill him if you were inside this cell? They can't blame you for it.
Or the same, I'd rather take my chances with you.
Anya searched the dead soldier's pockets and found nothing to indicate how the cell operated. She patted him down and didn't even find an identification card. Anya frowned. There were no tags of any type except for the one red star on his epaulets. She stood and walked over to the other wall, but again, could find nothing to indicate how the stone walls operated. As far as Anya could see, they were set perfectly flush with the other part of the corridor. Took was trapped.
I can't find anything.
There's got to be a way. Some kind of trip switch. When I was pushed inside, the walls slammed shut quickly. There's got to be an activation button.
Anya turned her attention away from the walls of the cell to the area behind her. She had to take care not to slip in the soldier's blood. But her heart thundered, and she knew that if she didn't find the trip switch soon, she'd have a lot of company to worry about. Her fingers found a shallow depression painted exactly to match the color of the stone walls.
Thank you, Anya.
We don't have any time. We've got to get out of here and figure out what happened to Mike.
We need to get my phone back, too. It's critical that we find a way to get Garin here. He can help us.
Much as I hate to admit it, I'm sure he can. But how are we going to do that? Didn't you say that Guge took it?
Yes. He told me that for me to cross back over, I couldn't have any technology with me.
Probably just a con to get you to give up the phone.
I know that now.
He went down this corridor.
I suppose we should go that way too, huh?
As much as I'd rather get the hell out of here, yes. We need to go in that direction.
What about Mike?
I don't know what to do about Mike. As far as I know, he's on his own somewhere. Right now, our priority is to get the phone, get Mike, and then figure out a way to get some help to get out. This place is no longer a paradise. And I have serious doubt as to whether it ever was.
Meaning what?
Meaning this whole thing feels staged.
For whose benefit?
Mine, yours, who knows? Whatever it's for, it's not anything good.
All right, Anya. I'm with you. Let's go.
They stole down the hallway. Anya would have liked to dispose of the soldier's body properly, but there was no time. And they would have had to clean the blood off the floor anyway, a nearly impossible task given the little time they had. They would have to take a chance that there were too few people around to notice the body for a while. Something told Anya it wouldn't happen that way, but there were no other options. Ahead of them, the corridor forked and Anya frowned. She wanted to cover both hallways at once, but she'd only just reunited with Took, and splitting their forces didn't seem prudent at this point.
Which way?
Left?
Left it is.
The hallway descended, and the air grew starkly colder. Anya's breath appeared in front of her face. Just where were they? Anya's sword lit the hallway for a small area around them, reflecting the flickering torches up ahead. The floor started to slope back up. Took had stopped immediately, keenly aware of Anya's movements, as she suspected he would be, given his past as a tracker. The torches ahead seemed to bracket a doorway carved out of the tunnel. Anya wanted to see what was beyond that doorway. More soldiers? The shadowy figure she'd fought before? Guge? She frowned. She couldn't just burst into the room, although it was tempting. Not being able to see what lay beyond was a problem. She didn't know if she could get that close without alerting them to her presence. She felt Took nudge her from behind.
Anya, let me investigate.
You sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
Anya moved out of his way. The little man crept up the corridor toward the twin torches. Fortunately, because the torches were in front of him, they cast Took's shadow behind. The little spy moved easily and quickly, and Anya almost thought at one point that he had become part of the wall. It was easy to see why Took's skills had been so highly valued by the intelligence services of so many countries. He must have some stories, Anya thought. She looked back down the corridor and then up at Took. At any second, they might be discovered. Anya kept a firm hand on her sword and then watched as Took reached the periphery of the doorway, sank down on his knees, and ever so slowly peered around the corner.
What'd you see?
Kuke is in there. He's not dressed like my father anymore.
How is he dressed?
Military fatigues.
Chinese?
I don't think so.
What else?
There are several soldiers in there. They're all armed with automatic weapons. And there's one other person in there as well.
Who?
Su Zhao. How should we play this?
We need your phone, right?
Yes.
And Guge has it, so we need to get it back from him. The sooner we can call in the cavalry, the better.
You mean Garin?
I'd settle for a Boy Scout troop if I thought it would help. But yes, Garin should be brought in here if possible.
All right. Let's go get the phone.
How many soldiers?
4.
All right. Stay here.
I'm going with you.
I understand you want to come with me, but you can't. You don't have a weapon, and the instant the bullets start flying, I won't be able to protect you. Those soldiers will turn you into Swiss cheese if they get even half a chance.
Don't I have any say in this?
No. I rescued you back there, so you owe me, right?
I suppose.
Then do as I say.
Anya, that assassin, Su Zhao, she's not going to be easy to kill.
They never are.
Just be careful.
As much as I can.
Anya could sense Took watching her from behind and hoped he would be all right. She didn't like the idea of leaving him alone in the corridor, but it was better than if he came with her. Anya checked her position, then tightened her grip on the sword and looked into the blade. Her own reflection stared back at her, and she smiled in spite of herself. Here we go again, she thought. Adrenaline dripped into her veins, and Anya's heart thundered again, ticking into overdrive in preparation for battle. Anya absorbed everything at once. One soldier on the right hands off his weapon. 2 soldiers at 10 o'clock. Guge standing near the black-draped woman who must be Su Zhao. 1 other soldier sitting at a computer terminal. A door on the far side of the room, closest to Su Zhao. She went for the soldier on her right. Anya's sword cleaved into the barrel of the assault rifle, and she backhanded the blade up and into the soldier himself. The blade tore into his upper torso, slicing deep into his thorax. The soldier twisted in agony as the life drained from his eyes. Anya kept moving, making a beeline for the pair of soldiers. The one farthest away brought his gun up. Anya twisted and leaped through the air, arcing high, and then coming straight down at the soldier who was attempting to jerk the barrel of the gun around toward her, even as he still unleashed the hail of lead. Anya sliced down, landed, and then cut back up under the gun, driving the sword into the young soldier's lower torso, disemboweling him. Anya spun towards the second soldier, who'd abandoned his rifle and went for his pistol instead. Anya flicked her hands up, catching the soldier's gripping hand just beneath the wrist. He looked down at the bloody stump where his hand had been seconds before. Anya spun and cut the man across the throat. Anya caught movement out of the corner of her eye, and she spotted Su Zhao fleeing the room through a door opposite the passage she'd entered from. Guge backed up against the wall and attempted to get out of the door, only to find it locked from the other side. The soldier, who had been seated behind the computer terminal, stood and rushed Anya headlong, catching her around the waist. Anya felt the impact of a punch in her face that seemed like it had jarred a few teeth loose. The soldier followed up, bringing his head down hard against her cheekbone. Anya pushed him off and tried to get the better position, but his legs came up instinctively, using them against her hips so she couldn't get any purchase. Another punch caught her in the chest. Anya dropped an elbow into the soldier's sternum, then drove the elbow hard against the xiphoid process. She felt the soldier stiffen before going slack as Anya drove the fragmented bone into his heart. Anya rolled off the soldier just in time to see Guge going for her sword. Anya squeezed her eyes shut, concentrating her willpower.
But it was just there!
She grabbed Guge by his lapels and tossed him against the stone wall.
It's time you and I had a talk.
Where did the sword go?
Anya lifted the gleaming edge of the blade under Guge's chin, pressing it ever so slightly against the skin on his neck and allowing it to bite just enough to score a thin line of blood.
Now that I've got your attention...
You wouldn't kill me, Anya.
What makes you think that?
Because we saved you. We rescued you. If it hadn't been for us, you would have died in that cave.
We were fine.
Mike would have died.
Perhaps you're right. But don't assume that means I won't kill you. Especially since it looks like you've been lying this entire time.
It couldn't be helped.
The lying?
Of course. How else could we accomplish this?
All right, Guge, or whatever the hell your name is. You and I are going to have a nice long talk. And you're going to sit down and explain every last bit of what's happening to me. In fact, start with what I'm seeing on this computer terminal here. It's in Chinese. Does that have something to do with what's going on here?
Of course.
And you understand what it says? Don't even think about lying to me, Guge.
Hello, Father.
You freed Took?
Of course I freed him.
How did you figure out how to do that?
I'm not a moron, Guge. I discovered the depression in the wall. The button disguised as a part of the rock. It took a little time, but I found it.
You must be proud of yourself.
I'm not proud of anything. What I am is beside myself with wanting to know what exactly is happening in this place. And you're going to tell me. Took, put the pistol down. Maybe you should stay outside.
Took, tell Anya to let me go.
I do no such thing. I'm as anxious to hear your answers to her questions as she is.
But I am your father, Took. You can't do this.
Oh, God! My knee!
Took!
Are you my father? Tell me if you care about the other one.
No! No, I am not your father!
Took, let me do this, will you?
Well, at least we've established that he is not my father.
What if he had been?
Then I would apologize for crippling him. But that's a moot point now, don't you think?
Apparently. Well, Guge, as you can see, Took is pretty upset with you for lying to him.
Oh, my God, it hurts!
It's gonna hurt even worse if you don't start telling us the things we want to know.
You don't understand what's happening here. You don't get it.
That's our point. You're gonna tell us now.
She'll kill me if I tell you.
And I will kill you right now if you don't tell me exactly what I want to know.
Oh, very well.
First, where is Took's cell phone?
It's in my pocket. The cargo pocket halfway down my leg.
Took, call Garin. Find out where he is and if he's any closer to finding a way to get through to this place.
He'll never find it! It's too well hidden.
You thought I wouldn't be able to find the cell release for Took, and I found that easily enough. Garin's a pretty sharp guy. Something tells me he might just figure it out even without our help.
You will never leave here alive on your Crete.
Why not?
Because this is all about you. From the top down, this is all about you. Don't you get it?
Anya, I'm not getting a signal.
I thought that thing could get reception anywhere.
I thought so too. But the walls of this place must be extra thick or something.
They are thick. You're inside a mountain. You won't be able to reach anyone by phone while you're in here.
We need to get outside. You'll get a signal out there.
Well, good luck. The alarm will have already gone out, and you'll get a very different reception than the one we staged for you this evening.
What do you mean this is all about me?
In truth, it's not all about you. You are just one person after all. But combined with everything else, we thought this would be a very nice way to take care of some loose ends all at once.
Get up, Guge.
I can't walk on that leg!
What are you doing?
We need him to keep us alive. If we go outside without him, they'll shoot us.
At least with Guge, we can keep them from unleashing a lead shower on us.
You think that will work?
I really don't know. But I'm running out of ideas.
They won't hesitate to kill me to get to you, Anya. You've got too high a bounty on your head for them to even blink at taking me out.
Well, maybe we'll just go outside and test that theory of yours, shall we?
It will be the last thing you do.
I can't tell you how many times I've heard that before. Took, better grab some firepower. Bring both rifles and the magazines. This thing could get really hot. All right, old man, let's get going. Something tells me things are about to get interesting. And you can spill all your secrets on the way out.